Bible says, my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He rewards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter.
Hello, Sister Vidicia. I'm praying for you, by the way. Praying for you, praying for God's strength and mercy and comfort. This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. It's good to be here. Boy, it seems like it's been like ages since I've done one of these, and I didn't really do a whole lot today. I went to work and my back started hurting, and I went home and took a nap, and that ended up being practically the whole day, and I just felt like the whole day was wasted and didn't do a whole lot, and so I decided to come on and actually do a PBL. I might be doing a video. I'll be doing a video tonight, obviously. But there is a chance I might do one even tomorrow because I don't have to work till later. So it's actually kind of nice that God has sort of granted me some time to just kind of wind down a little bit and stuff like that and being able to do some videos. But really is good to be here. See, the last video I preached. Let's see here. There's one video that I preached after I got back from Missouri. And I talked about Jonah's revival. We got into chapter 1. We will be continuing that. But I would like to finish. I would like to continue on with the Ten Commandments series. And because that's just been sort of dangling in the balance for a while. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to continue that, and hopefully I will be able to get that thing finished, and then after that we'll be able to move on to Jonah, and then getting that finished up, and then hopefully then just kind of wherever the Lord takes me from there. Amen. So please be in prayer for me. With that said, let's do prayers and praises. Do you have any prayers or praises? Does anybody have any prayers or praises? Any prayer requests or praises, you can feel free to mention them at the comments. And while you all doing that, let me just go ahead and read off some prayer requests. We have a fellow sister who needs prayer for her mother, and please pray for her as well. Pray for this fellow sister and her mother. Both are kind of not doing well. Well, I can't say both, but one of them is not doing well. Our fellow sister is kind of overwhelmed right now. So overwhelmed and just really have a lot going on and has a lot on her plate at the moment. So pray for her. Pray for her mother. Her mother's not doing very well. I kid you not. Like, all of a sudden, my computer just went really weird. I don't know why. That was just strange. And it was really interesting. I looked on my screen, and then all of a sudden, there was a number that got typed in, and I kid you not, I did not type anything in. I didn't even touch my keyboard, and it looked like something got typed in. I'm like, what? That's weird. We have pray for a fellow brother, for salvation for his family and his ex-wife. Please pray for a fellow sister for salvation for her father. Keep brother Joey, in prayer. He's got pain. He has pain, kind of on a daily basis. So pray for him. Pray that, you know, he God will comfort him. Please keep brother Ryan Payton in prayer. Pray for me as well. Pray for me, my ministry, my videos. But in case you all didn't know, what was it? It was a week ago from today. I had the very unique privilege and honor to go up to Church of Many Blessings and preach. And that was the first time I've ever gone to a church to preach. And I actually told Pastor Ron, Brother Ron, that I told him that I had a desire like that to go to different churches and preach. And sure enough, he actually gives me, good Lord gives me an opportunity last Wednesday to do so. And I'll tell you what, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to go to a different church and preach. If there's anyone from Church of Many Blessings that will eventually watch this, I love you guys. I miss you guys. You guys are great people. And I'm hoping that maybe sometime, if the Lord allows me, I can come back up and preach for you guys on a Sunday. Sunday night or another day. You know what? That'd be really nice to come back up there to preach for you all again. I enjoyed it. But it was pretty cool. And if you all can pray for me too, that if the Lord allows that I can maybe continue doing that, you know, continue maybe go to different churches on His timing to preach. And I do feel called myself to plant a church. So you keep me in prayer for that. I've got a lot of stuff going on as well in my life. I'm not going to disclose a whole lot of it, but for those of you that kind of know what's going on in my life, pray for me on that and pray for God's will to be done. Amen. We have a fellow sister that has a baby grandson. So pray for this little baby grandson. We have another sister that wants prayer for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, I think that should be all of us. Amen. I think we should all pray for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We should all pray for that for ourselves.
I think that's going to be about it. I think that's going to be about it for prayer requests. If anyone has any prayers or praises that you'd like for me to mention, you could feel free to put that on there, and we'll go from there. I'm going to take a sip. See, I have this water. It's a Hawaiian punch. Essentially, is what it is. We have this big old thing of Hawaiian punch, and so I just took some Hawaiian punch and stuck it in water, and I love Hawaiian punch. But anyways, well, that tastes good. All right. So anyways, we are going to be continuing on the Ten Commandments series. Gonna be talking about, what part is this? I think this is like part number 9. We're gonna be talking about the 8th commandment. We're talking about the 8th commandment. I had to count to make sure that was right. We're gonna be talking about the 8th commandment. Thou shalt not steal. And oh boy, I tell you what, devil's probably not gonna be happy. Devil's probably not going to be happy with. I'm going to tell you something. If you preach the word and you do what God tells you, devil's not going to be happy, period. But, you know, I tell you what. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? And so, hey, Brother Max, good to see you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments tonight. We're going to be talking about thou shalt not steal. Glad you can make it. But anyways, we're going to be talking about how we are not to steal. Now I'm going to tell you something. I want to just keep this in mind. I've mentioned numerous times that we cannot keep the law. Okay. We can't. Okay. Does that mean I should go out and intentionally break the Ten Commandments deliberately? No. What I'm talking about is we cannot keep the law as per salvation. Okay? We can't keep the law as per salvation. And people who try to put you in that position to where they tell you, you must keep the law. I guarantee you can't keep the law themselves. You know what we call that? We call that hypocrisy. And I'm telling you what, we should not be putting people in bondage like that. Amen? But we can all agree that yes, it is wrong to steal. It is wrong to kill. It is wrong to lie. It is wrong to cheat. We can all agree to that. Do you know why? Most of us can agree with that because God has wrote his law in our inward parts and on our hearts. Amen? So whether you know it or not, you actually know some of the Ten Commandments without even realizing it, because you know it's wrong to steal. You know it is wrong to kill. You know it is wrong to cheat and lie. You know, because it's been written in your hearts. It's been written in our inward parts. Amen? You know, as a matter of fact, hang on a second. Let me see if I can find that verse. If I can find it. I gotta find it here. Where is it? I can't find it. Nah, I'll tell you what. If I find it, I will. Hang on, let me type in. Let's see if I could find it here. Oh, here we go. I found it. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. It says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Can I get an amen from God's people on that? I'm going to tell you something. If whether Jew or Gentile, whether saved or unsaved, you know that it's wrong to cheat, steal, lie, and kill, destroy, and you know that it is wrong to do all those things. You know why? Because it's just what is written. God wrote His law in our inward parts and in our hearts. And by the way, it says, "And they shall be my people." So if you're born again today, and you're sealed with the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Holy Ghost, if you're born again, God has wrote His law in your inward parts, and He's wrote it on your hearts. Amen. Now, the purpose of this particular. Oh, see, now I'm starting. I'm getting on fire here, real quick. I'm gonna tell you something. The purpose of this sermon series is to show that ye cannot keep the law, that you need Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something. There is one who ever kept the law, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is no one who has ever kept the law but Jesus Christ. And if you're born again today, and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, and He resides in your hearts, He who is perfect, who kept the law, dwells within your heart. And therefore, it is His righteousness that you're clothed with. And God sees you as innocent. Not because of your doing, but because of the Lord's doing. Amen? It's only by Jesus Christ that ye are made innocent. It is by His blood that washes away your sin that makes you innocent. Amen? It makes you innocent. Let me give you some good news today. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Amen. So, without the blood of Christ, this might sound harsh, but this is the truth. Without the blood of Christ, you are a lost sinner on your way to hell. And my prayer is that you repent of your sin and you come to the knowledge of the truth. And some of you might ask, what is truth? You know what truth is? Whoops, my battery's going everywhere. This Bible. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." He is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus didn't say, "I am a way, a truth, a life." No, He says, "I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me." Amen. So, with that said, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. And we're going to go from there. Exodus chapter 20. And it's verse 15, very short verse. Okay? Thou shalt not steal. Okay? Now, at the beginning of this sermon series, I talked about how there's two categories of the Ten Commandments. Now you might say, "Well, Brandon, what do you mean by that?" Well, there's Ten Commandments, okay? And I mentioned on how the first half deal with loving the Lord your God. Okay? And I mentioned in how the second half deals with loving thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? Now, I mentioned how Jesus says, okay, he says, loving the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. And by the way, he doesn't stop there. He says, and these two hang all the law and the prophets. Let me tell you something. Jesus was right. And how and why he's right is because he took the Ten Commandments and condensed them into two. Amen? He took all Ten Commandments and condensed them into two. So you could see from Scripture yourselves that the first half of the commandments deal with loving the Lord your God. The second half deals with loving thy neighbor as thyself. Amen? And by the way, it's these two that hang all the law, right? They hang all the law and all the prophets. That's amazing, isn't it? Let's continue on. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 5:19. Deuteronomy 5:19. Oh, my back is starting to act up again. Yeah, if y'all keep me in prayer, my back is starting to ache again, and I'm going to tell you what, the devil's not going to like it, but I don't care. I'm going to preach it anyways. Deuteronomy 5:19, it says, neither shall thou steal. Okay? Now, you might say, okay, well, praise God, I don't steal. I don't go and take from convenience stores. I don't take, I don't steal money from banks. Okay? Well, you may not. That's a good idea, sister. I'll have to do that. Thank you. I appreciate that. I will have to ice my back. My back, you know, icy hot might work, right? I don't have any icy hot, but I'll take some ice anyways. But anyways, what we see here, okay, so you may not steal money or things from a convenience store, okay? Well, You may not steal in that way. But let me ask you a question. Do you ever slack off at work? I think we're all susceptible to that. Even I am very susceptible at that. Do you just sit around and do nothing while on the clock? And by the way, there is, I think all of us are guilty in some way or fashion of that. Well, Brandon, how's that stealing? It's stealing because it's called time theft. And even secular atheists know that. Now, when I say atheists, let me put it this way. Secular non-believers know that. Non-believers know that if you sit around the clock doing nothing, it's time theft. And I think we're all guilty of that in some way, shape, or form. Let me tell you something. If you do that, which I think we all do, we're thieves. We broke the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Because we've taken money that we didn't earn from wherever we work. Ouch, Brandon, that hurts. Of course it does. When you get the truth of the from the Word of God, things are going to hurt. Things are going to prick your heart. It's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? Okay? Sitting around at work doing nothing is a form of stealing. Which begs the question, can just flat-out laziness be a form of stealing? Could be. Probably is. You know why? Because when you're lazy in general, you're really taking from God. God has given you time for you to use, and if you're not going to utilize it, you just stole from Him. Now listen, I'm not in ministry. I'm not in ministry for money. Okay? I'm not in ministry for money. Okay? I really can care less about money. I'm in ministry because I want to serve the Lord and I want to preach the gospel as He has given me. Amen. I want to preach this book. And I know, listen, I know there are times that people don't tithe, and I'm guilty of this as well. But even if you withhold your tithes from God, you're stealing from Him. And if you don't believe me, hold your place in Exodus and turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi. And Malachi is way into the minor prophets. And I gotta find it here. Here we go. Malachi chapter 3. Or is it Malachi chapter 2? I gotta find it here real quick. Malachi chapter 2 or 3. Let's see here. Let's see here. I know it's in Malachi, and I gotta figure out where it is. Sometimes. Here we go. Okay, I think I found it. Okay, Malachi chapter 3, okay, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And it doesn't stop there. It says, and ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Now let me tell you something. If a born-again person does not pay his tithes, it does not mean, okay, he's not, you know, let me tell you something. When you have a born-again person who doesn't pay their tithes, he will not, there are people who, let's put it this way, there are people who don't pay tithes. God still blesses them anyways. God still loves them. Okay? God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? But, now does that mean that you still haven't sinned? Well, no, you still sin and fell short. Okay? Now let me tell you something. Okay? You take a look in the book of Joshua. Okay? And when they came to Jericho, okay, God told Israel, He said, all the spoils that you get from this city are to come in my treasury. Okay, let me tell you something. When you read in that account, there was one person who kept back for himself. He disobeyed God. You know what happened? When Israel was going to fight in the next set of battles, they kept on losing. Well, they didn't keep on losing. They lost. And every time they fought, they kept on losing. Joshua's like, well, what's going on? Why are we losing? Well, God reveals to Joshua that there was one that withheld the spoil of Jericho for themselves, and they hid it. And it needed to be taken care of. And it did. They fixed the problem, but it cost a man's life. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to get stoned because you don't pay your tithes. No. But sometimes I think when we don't pay our tithes, I sometimes think that when we try to fight spiritually, we won't have victories. We just won't. Does that mean that God hates you? No. God loves you. But, you know, that's just what the word says. I'm not gonna try to sugarcoat it or just add any of my soft stuff to it. I'm just gonna leave it at that. That's what the Bible says. Well, that doesn't apply to us. That was only Old Testament. Let me tell you something. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. If Malachi 3, if all of Malachi 3 is scripture, that means there's something we can learn from it. Amen? Now listen. Again, I'm not wanting money. I don't want money. This is not a message to have you give me money. No. I'm just telling you that when people withhold their tithes and offerings from their storehouse, you know, it there can be some trouble there that needs to be taken care of. But I'm not gonna go in there. I'm just, you know, we'll save that for a different message. But that's what the Bible says. Is you have robbed God. Now, I'm gonna tell you something else too. Did you know that even fake and phony Christians, they rob God? They're thieves. Well, how is that, Brandon? How is that? Well, let me tell you something. Okay? Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody who tries to find their own way to salvation, whether it be by works or by a different religion, thinking that all roads lead to heaven? I'm going to tell you something. Those people who try to find another way into heaven, either by their works or by a different religion, thinking that we all worship the same God, i.e. Rick Warren in the Chrislam movement. Rick Warren, you're a thief. That's what you are. You're a thief. You know why you're a thief, Rick Warren? Because you think that Chrislam, that Islam and Christians worship the same God. No, we do not. No, we do not. Okay? No, we do not. My God says that we're supposed to love on people. Tell people the truth. Islam is a religion of hate and unpeacefulness. If you don't believe me, take a look at some of the radical Muslims. They're chopping Christians' heads off. They're chopping the heads off of our born-again believers, our born-again brothers and sisters, simply because we believe in Christ. I'm going to tell you something. Why do you think our nation isn't so much trouble? We've got people that are Muslims that have taken office in America. And they're coming up with some of the most radical, far leftist ideas you can ever think of, like Sharia law. I'm going to tell you something. If a nation rebels against God, God's going to allow another nation whose tongue you don't understand to take it over. If you don't believe me, go take a look at Israel's history with Babylon. Israel disobeyed. Guess what? God used Babylon. God used Babylon and came and besieged it and took it over and carried Judah away. What makes me mad is how we can sit here and elect these Muslims in the office. That's what astounds me. Who elected these people? Now listen, I voted for Trump. I don't necessarily agree with what he's doing, and there's a lot of stuff that I really haven't been too pleased about when it comes to Trump. But listen, that doesn't mean I'm gonna disrespect his office. Okay? But you had an Islamic congresswoman that basically comes out and says we need to impeach that. I'm not going to say the word because I'm just not going to do it because we got mixed company. But she basically curses and says, we've got to impeach him. Well, I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't think I've ever seen anything that he has ever done that is worthy of impeachment. Quite honestly, he's been probably one of our most hardest working presidents that we've had. Okay? And by the way, Trump is smart. He ain't no fool. He's very smart. You know why? Because there's something that he uses that a lot of these brain dead leftists don't use. It's called their brain. And the point I'm trying to make is when you have an Islamic congresswoman coming out saying that we need to impeach a president, my question is, on what grounds are you wanting to impeach him on? And number two, if you don't have any grounds, then keep your mouth shut and work with him. You may not have to agree with what he does or says, but you still need to respect his office. And to slander him and say things about Trump because you just hate him, you're not respecting his office. Now, some people say, well, Brandon, that's what you're doing. No. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something, and this may not make a lot of people happy, that if Trump does something that's not biblical, I have to call him out on it. You know why? Because he's just as much of a sinner as anybody else. Which should tell you that you need to pray for him. Okay? That you need to pray for him. Amen. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our leaders. So I'm going to tell you something, too. Jesus Christ died for Trump, too. Amen? I mean, Trump has a flesh. I will say this. I'll tell you this. What I like... Here's what I do like about him is the fact that he's tough. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. What I don't get is how come there are pastors who are not like that? And I don't mean going out and cursing and cussing like a sailor, by no means. But why are a lot of these so-called Christian pastors, and even probably well-intentioned born-again pastors, how come they're not getting tough? Why are they so fearful? Listen, pastors need to start getting tough. Amen. Pastors need to start getting tough, and they need to start telling the truth as it is. Even if it's unfavorable to a lot of people. Amen. I think I just went off on a whole rabbit trail. But we're talking about thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. I'm sorry. My mind's going 100 miles an hour. We're talking about thou shalt not steal. Okay? But Jesus said if you climb up in another way to find salvation, you are a thief. Okay, Rick Warren is a thief, and all these New Agers are thief. Kenneth Copeland is a thief. Jesse Duplantis is a thief. By the way, you know what? They are thieves. They fleece their flock for money. Jesse Duplantis is the worst of them. Reinhard Bonnke is a thief. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you something. He goes around in Africa and does work in Africa, which, there's nothing wrong with that. But he brags about how he wins millions of souls to the Lord. I have issues with him because the fact that is, if Reinhard Bonnke was so true and faithful to the Lord, how is it that most of Africa is still in Islam and still in witchcraft? Don't you think that the millions of souls that got saved in Africa, don't you think they would have come out of witchcraft? Well, are we really that naive to think that Reinhard Bonnke is a true and faithful man of God? I'm telling you what, that stuff makes me sick. Which, by the way, is lying, by the way. Saying that you are something when you're really not is a lie. By the way, you know what we call that? We call that actors. Because that's what actors do. Amen? Actors, they act to be a certain person on screen. Actors get into character, as they'd say. Amen. But anyways, we won't go there. We'll say that for a different time. But anyways, let's get back to this. That's right. I gotta type this in to the Pure Bible Search software. By the way, did you know that the word steal is mentioned 22 times in your King James Bible? 22. Okay. Can anybody think of anything with the number 22 in it? I mean, sure, there is 22 books in Revelation. Okay. 22 can be the number of Revelation. Okay. But 22 is 2 times 11. Okay. But can anybody else think of anything that can be in the number of 22? Just kind of putting it out there. Like I've said, okay, actually, with that said, let's go down to, let's see here. Where is it? Okay, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Okay? The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay, Jesus is saying that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus is also telling you that he's come that people will have life and life more abundantly. Amen. How many of you guys have experienced in your life things where you know Satan was behind it and he's trying to come to kill, steal, kill, and destroy things in your life? I mean, I can tell you what, I can name numerous examples in my life of that. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. And Jesus Christ does not steal. If God wants something, he'll pay for it. If you don't believe me, he purchased the church, the bride, his bride, with what? His blood. He laid his life down. Why? To purchase the church, didn't he? He bought the church. But he bought you as well, didn't he? Ye are bought with a price. Amen? You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Here we go. I found it. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what that means? Your spirit and your body belong to God's. They belong to God. Okay? You know why? Because you've been bought with a price. You know what that price is? That Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sin and paid it in full. And therefore, you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Which, by the way, abortion. You know, it astounds me in how, you know, a lot of women say, well, it's my body. I'll do whatever I want with it. No, it's not your body. Let me tell you something. I'm going to get a little humorous here, so just bear with me, okay? You belong to one of two fathers. The question is, who's your daddy? That was a joke, but also I was being serious. Who's your father? Is your father the devil? Or is your father God? Because I'm going to tell you something. If ye are your father the devil, you're owned by Satan. But if your own, if ye are of your father God, you're owned by him. So therefore, you're not your own, whether you're born again or not. And by the way, that comes to show you that even non-believers who don't believe, they're thieves. You know why? Let me tell you something. Because when you're not your own, when you are not born again, when you're not saved, you're depending on, whether you realize it or not, you're depending on your good works to go to heaven. You're stealing. You know why? You're stealing because you're not giving any glory to God. Okay. We're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith through grace. Salvation is a free gift. It is not anything you could do, lest any man should boast. And for you to climb in some other way to try to get to heaven, you're stealing from God. You're a thief. Because you're bragging and boasting on yourself, and you're giving yourself the glory when you really should be giving God the glory. And when you have non-believers that go around saying that they can do whatever they want with your body because it's theirs, you're stealing too. Because you are not a self-made person. You're not. God created you for the intention for you to worship and serve him. And I'm going to tell you something. I am just as susceptible as to, I'm just as susceptible to brag and boast on myself and say, hey, look what I did. That's pride, number one. Number two, that's stealing. You know why it's stealing? Because I'm not giving God the glory. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Here's why I mention all these different things. I'm mentioning all these different things to help show you that you can't keep the law. That you've sinned in one way, shape, or form. Which is why, as believers, we need to repent on a daily basis. We need to repent on a daily basis. I need to repent on a daily basis. We all need to repent on a daily basis. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. Without Christ, ye can do nothing. Without Christ, you can do nothing. If you think you can do anything without Christ, you are seriously mistaken. By the way, that's a form of stealing too. Do you know why? Because if you think that you can do things without Christ's help, number one, again, that's pride. And number two, you're setting yourself up to giving yourself the glory. Just saying. If people don't like that, they could take that up with God and tell him that you don't like it. if I'm wrong, God's going to deal with me about it. But if I'm right, God will deal with you about it. And he'll show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen? Am I losing anyone so far? Is everybody that's watching, are you all getting it? I hope it is, because I'm not trying to get complicated. I'm trying to be simple. I'm trying to help you to understand that we cannot keep the law. We need to depend on Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only way we're getting to heaven. There's no other way. And we just read, if you try to climb in the sheepfold some other way, you're a thief and a robber. Satan is a thief and a robber. Why? He's trying to give. He wants to be worshipped as God. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, we're going to start in verse 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You want to know something? Satan desires to be worshipped. I'm going to tell you something. All these Luciferian Hollywood people that you hear about, they're nothing but a bunch of sick pedophile Satan worshippers. Amen? I know there's somebody, and I know that there's somebody, I know of somebody that will probably agree with me on that. Because they have some experience with that in their personal life, and they also have experience in other areas. But who it is, I'm not telling you. I know who it is, but I'm not telling you. But Hollywood is nothing but is made up of a bunch of sick, pedophile, disgusting Satan worshipers. If you don't believe me, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these people in Hollywood, they brag and boast about how they're devil-possessed. They're not afraid to admit it. They'll tell you they're devil possessed, but they won't say devil. They'll say something to the extent of, "We're possessed by a higher power." Amen, sister. That's right. There's a lot of Satanists in Hollywood, and by the way, it's not just actors either. It's cameramen. It's directors. It's whatever. And they're the biggest lying thieves on the face of the earth. You know why? They're thieves because they're pretending to be something that they're not. Again, we call that acting. And these Satanists in Hollywood are very good at it. That's right, sister. Producers as well. It doesn't matter what area of Hollywood you're in. If you're in Hollywood and if Hollywood likes you and you're in and you're going off and doing all the sick child sacrificing and all this other disgusting nonsense, basically, I'm gonna tell you something. If you're not born again, it is that spirit. If you're not born again, it's that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And these Satanists in Hollywood are nothing but a bunch of disobedient children. You know what's sad is? God died for them, and they're deliberately rejecting God. Deliberately. It's very heartbreaking, and it's very sad. Wow, I didn't know that. That's interesting. That's interesting, brother. I didn't know that. Brother, do you mind if I mention that? Do you mind? Is that okay? Well, Well, I don't want to get too graphic, but we'll just leave it at that. And let's I'm just gonna leave it at that. So we see that these Hollywood people, they're thieves. They're liars. Amen. He says, "Go for it." Basically, what this fellow brother is saying is that he watched Big Daddy, and the kid was a certain way that was disturbing. Well, I don't want to say disturbing. Well, I mean it is disturbing, but I actually won't get into it. I'm sorry, brother. I gotta try to be mindful of I want to try to be mindful and not get into too much. But if you want to know what he said, it's on there. So maybe that's just me wimping out, but I do want to try to be mindful to everybody who's watching. But anyways, so Hollywood are just a bunch of thieves. But let's go through some scripture. I know I've been talking everyone's ear off, but let's just go through some scripture here, and then we'll close. Amen. Let's see here. It says in Leviticus 19:11, it says, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another." I'm going to tell you something. That is what Hollywood does best. They lie, they steal, they cheat, and they'll take... See, Hollywood essentially is made up of a bunch of narcissists. That's what they are. Bunch of textbook narcissistic people. I mean, those people in Hollywood are wicked, and they deal falsely with you. I guarantee you it. They will rip you off, and they will say things that shouldn't happen. I'm going to tell you something. This Bible is right. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 30, it says, Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 9, it says, "Lest I be full and deny thee, and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain." That's right, sister. Yes, they're narcissistic, they're self-serving, and they're prideful, they're boastful. I'm going to tell you something. God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud. I'm going to tell you something. We have a whole lot of sin in this nation. I'm going to tell you something. We need to start repenting now for the sins of this nation, because I'm going to tell you something. It's almost getting to a point where God's going to start judging this nation severely. As much as that breaks, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. That breaks my heart. Because we've been given a chance to repent of our sin, and America has been very neglected and refusing to repent of her sin. I'm going to tell you something. America is prideful. America is doing child sacrifice, which, if you don't believe me, take a look at the food we're eating. Take a look at the food that we're eating. By the way, that's a judgment, and that's a judgment. Because of all the child sacrifice that we're doing in this nation. Take a look at a lot of the food that we're eating. And by the way, there's even water companies that are doing it too. It's almost as if you really can't get a way around of it. And then, actually, okay, there's something I'm going to share with you guys at the end of this message, okay? So, just hang in there. We'll get there, okay? But there's something I want to share. There's something I want to share with you what's going on in New York. Okay? And I'm sure a lot of you may or may not know what's happening in New York, but I'll be getting to that, okay? So just hang on tight. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not?" Let me tell you something. That's Hollywood. That's our politicians. That's Bohemian Grove. You know why? Because the people who go to Bohemian Grove are Hollywood people, politicians, big namers like the Rothschilds, and all these other Satanists. Jeremiah 7:9 describes them perfectly. They steal, they deal falsely, they burn incense unto Baal, which, by the way, is an owl. Well, actually, Baal is a horned god, but he's depicted as many other animals. And they walk after gods whom ye know not. Jesus said to the woman of the well, "We Jews know who we serve and worship." But Jesus told this woman, "You don't know who you worship." I'm paraphrasing, but do you know why Jesus said that? Jesus said that because the Jews, even though they rejected God, they know who God was. The Gentiles, okay, when you take a look at the Gentile nations, they didn't know who God was. They went off worshiping false gods. If you don't believe me, you go look in the book of Acts where Paul comes across and he says, "I seen this inscription to the what? Unknown God." Little g. Amen. I'm going to just do a couple more and then we'll close. Okay? It's getting late, I know. Everyone's probably tired. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 30. "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor." I'm going to tell you something. That's what these big mega church preachers do. They steal his words, and they say things like, "He saith," and guess what? God never told them anything. You know why? Because they use false Bibles. Matthew 19:18, "He saith unto him," which Jesus, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Mark chapter 10, verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." There's a whole bunch more scripture on this, and so I'm just kind of Romans 13:9, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I'm going to tell you something. If you steal, you don't love your neighbor. If you don't love your neighbor, then you really don't love God. Amen. Last verse and we'll close. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Amen. Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, if you don't work and you're lazy, well, first of all, that's not going to really benefit you if you don't work. Secondly, you're stealing from God. You're stealing from God's timing and calling it your own. If you steal, that makes you a thief. Amen. Now listen, I know that I may have said some not so easy to hear stuff, okay? But I need to show you that stealing is stealing, okay? There's many areas of thievery. And I did that to show you that you can't keep the law. I did it to show you that you need Jesus Christ. If you're here today and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know for sure that if you would have died, you'd go to heaven. Well, how so? Well, if you sincerely go before the Lord with a sincere heart and you repent of your sins, you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, you ask the Lord to cleanse you, to wash you. You ask Him to come into your heart, come into your life, accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. He will. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, you'll be saved. But most importantly, that if you believe that God raised Him from the dead, Jesus Christ is alive forevermore, and He's coming back again. Amen? I don't want you taking everything that I say for truth. Okay? I want you to take what I say and you match it with this Bible, your King James Bible. If what I say does not match with this Bible, then let God be true. And every man a liar. Amen. If I'm wrong, then God is going to deal with me and He'll chasten me and show me where I'm wrong. But if I am right, I pray and ask that He will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen. If there's anything that the Lord is dealing with you on, I'm going to play a I'm just going to play kind of a hymn or two. And if there's something the Lord is dealing with you on, please, this is the time to get it right. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. There are things that God deals with me on that I need to repent of. And so if there's anything the Lord is dealing with you on today, now is the time to get it right. Amen. Because if we don't get it right, well, Lord's going to keep pressing on your heart until you do get it right. Amen. So I'm just going to play Amazing Grace. And then after that, I want to share something that New York is doing that I got to say something. Okay. So after this, I'm going to share something with you and then we'll be done. Okay. Tell you what, God's grace is amazing. Amen. God has grace. He has love. And He gives grace to the humble. Amen. One more time. Good to be here tonight. But anyways, there is something I want to share with you guys. I don't know if you guys know about this, but this is something that I gotta say, because if I don't say it, that could mean a tremendous disservice. For those of you that don't know, there is a large amount of, there's like this big measles outbreak that's going on in New York. I think there's like three counties being, there's like three counties infected with measles, okay? But they're doing, and they're trying to push for mandatory vaccinations in New York. And how they're doing it is this, that first of all, they're calling for if anyone is sick with the measles, you are to stay home and you're not to go into any public place till you're better. And secondly, if you don't get vaccinated, you can be fined up to $1,000. Okay? They are pushing, and what they're doing with that is they're pushing for mandatory, they're basically pushing mandatory vaccinations on people. That if you don't get your kid vaccinated, you're going to have to pay $1,000. Let me tell you something, that is a setup. And what I mean by that is it's setting up, it's conditioning people and setting up and getting people in the mentality that when the mark of the beast rolls out, when it does roll out, it's either you take the mark or you die, right? Well, it's a setup toward that because eventually, when the mark of the beast rolls out, it'll first be kind of like a, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? Not mandatory, but it's voluntary, okay? The mark of the beast will eventually be voluntary at first, and then they'll mandatory it. But they're calling for these vaccinations in New York. And that's not, here's the thing, I don't think that's right. I mean, if people don't, I mean, vaccinations, you hear stories all the time of how vaccinations, you know, tend to mess people up health-wise and stuff like that, and it's just something, I don't know, I just don't think you should be forced to vaccinate your kids, amen? And for those, and I just want to make you all aware that they're basically pushing vaccinations on people by either they have to either get it or else if they don't, they have to pay a fine. And that's not right. Amen. That's just not right. You shouldn't have to force people to vaccinate their kids. Listen, I'm not saying that okay, here's the thing. Yes, you need to take care. You need to take care of yourself. You need to get better, you know. You shouldn't stay sickly, okay? You need to stay healthy. You need to be in good shape. Let's see here. Oh. I'm sorry, sister. Yikes. You know, I guess that's why I just don't want to get a flu shot anymore. If I want to stay healthy, I'll just eat healthy. Drink a lot of water. Stay away from the carbs and sugars, which, by the way, is like my weakness because I have a tendency to get after the soda and I have a bad habit of getting after the soda and after all the sugary stuff. I really got to be drinking like water and stuff. But I don't think it's right to having to force people to vaccinate their kids. It's not right. I just don't trust vaccinations. I just don't, you know, you don't know what's in them. And I don't know about them flu shots either. I just don't like needles, period. But it's not right to force people to vaccinate their kids. You know, I'm telling you what, it's not a good thing. What we're seeing is not good. We're seeing a setup. It's all setting up to eventually the mark of the beast. Now, am I saying it's here? No. It's not here yet. And if you want to know how I know this, because you don't really see anyone going around with a mark in their forehead or in their right hand yet. There's coming a time, though, when it's when it will happen. But that's something, I was told by my pastor that that's something that the federal government's trying to push. They're trying to push for mandatory vaccinations. You know, sometimes I think we just gotta just say no. Sometimes just say no. When it comes to vaccinations, just say no. When it comes to the flu shot, just say no. You know? But anyway, so I just want to let you all, make you all aware of that. There is, right now, they are pushing mandatory vaccinations on people in New York because of this measles outbreak. Okay? Here's what I want to say. Here's the thing. I think we need to pray for those people in New York. Let's pray for these kids that are sick with the measles. Let's pray for these people. Let's pray that they will be supernaturally healed. And I'm going to tell you something. I do believe God can heal. He can supernaturally heal. Question is, could we be entering a time where we may start seeing more of that? I'm going to tell you something. I don't trust a whole lot of doctors. I'm not saying every single doctor, but I'm saying a lot of the doctors that are in practice today are just about as corrupt as Hollywood. They're doing it for the money. And a lot of doctors will misdiagnose and they'll do just about anything to basically get rid of you. I heard really quickly, and we'll be done. I think it was, I was told that the slogan for Obamacare was, "Aren't you dead yet?" And Obamacare, I'm going to tell you something, Obamacare really is going to put a lot of people to death because of all these things. And I'm going to tell you something, and by the way, the fact that Obamacare was forced health care that people had to get or else they had to pay a penalty, it's not going to stop there. It's going to spread to every other area of life. And we're seeing it with vaccinations. Amen. So let's be in prayer. Let's be in prayer for those in New York. Amen. Let's pray for these kids. Let's pray for these adults that got infected with measles. Let's pray that God will just touch and heal them. Amen. Because they don't need vaccinations. What they need is a touch of the great physician. Amen. They need a touch from Jesus Christ. A healing touch. Amen. So let's pray for them. Can we all agree that we can all be in agreement and pray for them? Amen. I think that would be good. But anyways, that's it. That's all I had for tonight. I'm sorry I probably went a little bit long, but praise the Lord. I hope the Lord got what he wanted done tonight. Amen. Tomorrow, stay tuned for tomorrow. I might be doing another PBL. We're going to continue on with the Ten Commandments series. I hope this was a blessing to you. I hope that you got something from this. Amen. And I hope that if the Lord leads, please share it. Amen. But anyways, listen, I love you guys. God bless you. This is Pastor Brandon signing off for the evening. I love you guys. You guys have a great night. God bless you. And if the Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you guys. I love you guys. See you tomorrow.